Well, we're going to have our Bible readings now, and there are two Bible readings this morning. The first is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. I'll give you a moment to turn that up in your Bibles if you wish. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Our second Bible reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. I'll give you a moment to turn that up. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Thanks, Dylan.
Thank you. Thanks, Andre. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. If you're visiting us this morning, welcome. Nice to have you. We're going to pray before we come to God's word, shall we? Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank you for the privilege of listening to your word, and Lord, to sit under your word. And so, Father, our desire is that you, through your Holy Spirit, work in us your will, your purposes, that, Father, as we leave today, we will go with a better understanding, a fresh commitment, a fresh understanding of your word. And especially what it means to be a fellowship, a community who loves you and who serves you here in Bode. Thank you for this opportunity. I commit myself as well and ask these, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be spending a lot of time in the Acts reading, but I'll refer to the Ephesians reading in the talk. Now, as Jonjo mentioned, a few weeks ago, we started looking at our church mission, and we looked at it, and we said our mission is that guided by the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit, our mission is to glorify God by living as Jesus' followers and witnesses. Now, if you haven't been with us for the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at what this looks like when we live out this mission, which is our vision. Our vision is of a Spirit-filled, Christ-centered community where people of all ages and nations are learning the good news and sharing the good news, loving people both in and beyond our community, depending on God and worshipping Him. By now, you should know this by heart. And you've got a couple of more weeks to come to remember this. So the last couple of weeks we spent looking at our first couple of vision pictures. When we glorify God by being Jesus' followers and witnesses, we learn the good news. We are a learning community. And we don't just learn the good news, we also share the good news of Jesus. And we have been spending some time in Acts chapter 2 verses 42 to 47. We read that over the past few weeks. That's another Bible passage that you will probably remember by the end of this sermon series. You should know it by heart as well. This is a description of the first church, isn't it? Acts chapter 2 verses 42 to 47. When the first church, when they learned the good news, when they shared the good news of Jesus, something remarkable happened, right? Something remarkable happened. At the end of that section, in verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, we are told that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Do you see that? Can you hear that? God was not only saving people from their sins, no, he was also adding them daily to their number, or adding them to the church. You see, God never saves a person and leaves them on your own. He always brings them into a community, a church. God never saves someone so that they can be lone rangers, that they can be on their own. Because our spiritual growth, our maturity, according to the purposes of God, happens, or it takes place, in the context of a community, isn't it? So it is inevitable, friends, as we learn the good news and as we share the good news, there will be church growth. Church will grow. It is inevitable that as we share the good news, that we will have, constantly we will have new believers, new people who will come in. There will be constantly immature Christians among us who is in the process of growing. But then when God brings people into the church, when God brings people to our midst, what should we do? What should we be doing? And that's our third vision picture, isn't it? When we live out our mission, glorifying God by being Jesus' followers and witnesses, we will be loving people in and beyond our community. Now, you probably think, if you have been part of this church for a while, for the past couple of months at least, no, not again a love sermon. We've kind of loved for a while in this church. You cannot preach enough of love. But in August and July, we spent some time unpacking love, loving God, loving one another, loving our neighbors, loving our planet. So you must be thinking, well, I think we've had enough of love. So I'm not going to actually bore you with another love sermon. Instead, what I'm going to do is to think about what happens. What do we become when we love God and love one another and when we love our neighbor? What does it look like when we love? In Acts chapter 2, Luke says, the first believers, they were actually devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, but to fellowship. To fellowship. Now, this is what they became when they loved God, loved one another, and loved their neighbors. They became a fellowship. I wonder what comes to your mind when you hear the word fellowship. So I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to talk to the person next to you. Just chat about what comes to your mind when you hear the word fellowship. All right, let's go. Have a chat to the person next to you. Fellowship, what comes to your mind? All right, great. You can keep chatting. Did anybody mention Lord of the Rings? The Fellowship of the... There you go, some of you. There. When I searched Google, like, fellowship, that's the first thing that came. Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Rings. There you go. Now, the Greek word used to describe in this passage, the fellowship, is koinonia. Koinonia. In the New Testament, it is also a word used to describe partnership, participation, sharing something, or having something in common. So what I want to do this morning is to look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, and share with you three things, or three marks, of the first koinonia, or the fellowship, in the first century. First, what they did was they shared in something together. They shared something together. You know, the first church was a diverse community, weren't they? There were people from different nations, there were Jews and Gentiles, male and female, young and old, slave and free people. But, see, they were all together. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. You see, they were brought together because they shared in something. They shared in Jesus. They were sharing Jesus. They were learning about Jesus. They were worshiping Jesus in the church. They were praying to Jesus. And they were remembering Jesus' death and his resurrection as they celebrated the Lord's Supper or communion, or as they broke bread. So regardless of who they were or where they came from, they were in a relationship with God through Jesus, and the Holy Spirit had started a work of transformation in them. This is what made them one. They were one in Christ. And is this not what makes us one as well? We come from different countries. The last time when I checked, maybe it is grown. Last time when I checked, we had about 28 nationalities among us. We come from different backgrounds. We have different temperaments, gifts and interests. We have different accents, different cultural practices. We eat all sorts of food. But we have this in common, isn't it? Same God is our Heavenly Father. Same Jesus is our Savior and Lord. And the same Holy Spirit is our indwelling Comforter. As we heard from Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, Paul says there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. It's beautiful, isn't it? Oneness in Christ. And Paul says something similar to Galatian church, right? He says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, male or female, slave or free, for you're all one in Christ. And the Bible kind of has these beautiful pictures to describe this oneness and the diversity in the church. In John chapter 15, we are called Jesus. The connection that we have with Jesus is called like a branches connected to the vine. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul described the church as the body of Christ. Each member is part of one body. In 1 John chapter 3, it is the family of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, the church is described as the building built upon the cornerstone, who is Jesus. See, when we are in a fellowship, we share in Jesus and all what his death and his resurrection has to offer. We are all recipients of his grace, his forgiveness, eternal life, the righteousness, the new life. And here at BCCB, we must continue to put Jesus before everything. We must put his word, his gospel, his work, his ways before us. And we must ask questions like, are we honoring Jesus in our worship services? Do we remind people enough of what Jesus has done and who Jesus is? Do we provide people the opportunity to get to know Jesus more? What can we actively do to welcome believers from different backgrounds? What can we do to foster our fellowship with Jesus? Or is there anything that I or we can do to change our attitudes towards other nationalities or people from other backgrounds, people who are not like us but believe in Jesus? Because we all share in together. We share in Jesus, don't we? And in the fellowship. And the second aspect of the fellowship is that they were sharing out together. They were sharing resources together. In Acts chapter 2, verse 45, you have your Bibles, and the verses will come up here as well. These are some challenging words, aren't they? Luke says the first believers, they were together. They had everything in common, and selling their properties and goods, they gave it to anyone as needed. Now, some have misread these words and they've kind of said, well, to be part of a Christian fellowship, you need to sell all your property and give the money to the church. And some have said the Christians shouldn't own property. And others have said Christian needs to kind of exercise voluntary poverty. They need to become poor. Well, time to time, God may call certain people to do this, to give up things. But not all followers of Jesus are called to do this, because if you read the next verse, verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, you will see they met in their houses. Now, if they had sold their properties, if they sold their houses, how could they have houses? So they still had their properties intact. But what these verses describes is a caring community, isn't it? Who gave themselves to each other. A community held their material possessions so loosely when they saw a need among them, a brother or sister who was in need, they were willing even to sell their properties and bring the church and look after, bring it to the church and look after their needs. And they were a community who were willing to put the needs of others before theirs. You may remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul talks about the generosity of the Macedonian church. There was this great famine in Palestine, and Paul shared the needs and the struggles of the Jerusalem church with the Macedonian church, and Paul says the church in Macedonia, they were poor. They didn't have anything. But they gave out of their poverty, Paul says. You know, when they heard the needs of the Jerusalem brothers and sisters, they were not going to have coffee and donuts. No, they were digging deep down into their pockets to help meet the needs of the believers who shared together with them a common life in Christ. So when you're a part of the body, you feel when another part of the body is hurting. In the same way, you benefit when the rest of the body is doing well. When we are devoted to fellowship, brothers and sisters, we give out. We are generous, and that's why generosity is one of our values in this church. We are generous with our time, talents, and resources that God has given us. Which means we don't just give money to the church and say, okay, you do the work, I'll just sit back and enjoy. No, we give ourselves generously to the work of the church. We put ourselves in the rosters. And if you're not rostered, we kind of jump in and serve whenever there is a need. We look out for those who are in need among us, and we offer ourselves cooking meals and taking people to doctors and offering lists. We will feel the need of not just Christian brothers and sisters in our midst, but also in our city, in our state, in our country, and of course, other parts of the world. We saw this in action, didn't we, a few months ago, last year as well, when you gave generously to the church in Ukraine, and then to the church in Sri Lanka. And we praise God for that, because that is a testimony of God has been working in your lives, transforming not just your attitudes, but your wallet, your bank account, giving you a heart to give. You see, friends, when we are generous with what we have, we also reflect the God whom we worship, don't we? The God who did not even spare his own son and gave himself for us, we reflect him. And when we give generously, we reflect on our trust in God. That we trust in a God who has promised to provide all our needs according to the riches of his glory. When we are a fellowship, we share in together and we share out together. But there's a third thing that I want to pick up. We not only share Jesus in, we not only share our resources together, but we also share with each other. We share with each other. How did they do that? The first church, verse 46 continues, they broke bread. They continued to meet together and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with gladness and sincere hearts. It's like they came to the synagogue, they came to the temple, the church, to have this formal worship. They heard the teachings, they sang songs, they did communion, but then they left church, and then they continued fellowship. They invited people home. They accepted people to their houses. They cooked for each other. They kind of rallied around the kitchen sink and washed each other's dishes. They offered hospitality. Their fellowship did not stop at church. And do you know why that is? Because they understood fellowship to be a relationship, not an activity. See, friends, the table was a place to grow relationship, get to know each other more, pray for each other. The table is a primary symbol of fellowship, isn't it? It represents hospitality, inclusiveness, generosity, and grace. Table is a place where we share hopes and victories, fears and struggles, disappointments, battles won and battles lost. And you see what? Jesus was constantly around tables, wasn't he? And you call him for a party, he's there. He never missed a great meal, to the point the religious leaders, they thought Jesus was a glutton and a drunkard. And do you know what one thing that Jesus told his disciples to do in remembrance of him? Do you know what he told his disciples to do in remembrance of him? Eat and drink. On the Last Supper, Jesus told his disciples, eat from the bread, drink from the cup. We call this communion. So friends, don't stop fellowship at church on a Sunday morning. Continue it during the week. Share fellowship, offer fellowship, receive fellowship from each other. And look around this morning. There are some visitors as well, but there are people who've been here for a while, but some of us don't know each other. And we can start by getting to know their names, hey? I remember a pastor sharing a story. He was avoiding this person in the church because he'd forgotten his name. Right? You know, like you just walk around and you just look away. So he was doing this. And then one day he kind of built up this courage and he said, like, I'm going to have this very creative way of getting to know him. So he rocked up to him and said, hi, tell me, how do you pronounce your name? And then he looked at the pastor like a bit amused and said, okay, my name is B-O-B-Bob. And the pastor was embarrassed and needless to say, he remembered this person's name hereafter. Now, that is one way of getting somebody's name. Hey, you just go up to him, that person, and say, how do you pronounce your name? How do you spell your name? Right? Maybe next week, you might want to come a bit early to church. Just get to know each other. But now that you are here, why don't you stay back for morning tea? Oh, morning tea, why don't you not stick with your clique or person that you always stay with? Let me walk across the room and talk to someone that you haven't spoken before. You start with asking, how do you pronounce your name? How do you spell your name? Ask how their week was. What do they do for work? Maybe invite someone home. Oh, we are coming up for a long weekend, isn't it? I'm unofficially declaring that a hospitality weekend in the church. Think of two or three people. Look around. Two or three people that you can invite, preferably someone that you haven't invited before or known before. From next Saturday to Monday, there should be 3 or 9 main meals in your calendar. And if you add your morning teas and afternoon teas, there'll be how many? 15? Great. So what I'm asking you to do is pick one. One out of those 15 times that you might eat or drink something, invite someone, a couple of people. Spend some time together, getting to know each other. Can you do it? I'm sure you can. Is it going to be easy? No. It's not going to be easy. You may not understand somebody speaking. You may find out there's some quirky habit that the other person is having. And that's why Jesus said that he will give the Holy Spirit to grow us in the fruit of the Spirit. So keep an eye out. God may kind of give you opportunities to grow the fruit of the Spirit. Things like love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control. Did I miss any? You can find out Galatians 5:22. So look out for those opportunities that the Holy Spirit will bring. He will give you opportunities to grow the fruit of the Spirit. Fellowship. It is a place where we share in together, sharing Jesus. Share out together, share our resources. Share with each other, sharing life. And for the early Christians, this kind of fellowship was not an option. It was a way of life. And this should be the way of life for us as well. And this is what we will look like when we glorify God by being followers and witnesses of Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you for saving us through your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in us. We thank you. We are so thankful, Lord, that when you saved us, you didn't keep us on our own. No, you brought us into fellowship. So help us not to give up meeting together. Help us not to give up fellowship. Help us, Lord, to grow in the fruit of the Spirit as we embark on this wonderful picture of being a fellowship. And we can do that only if you work the fruit of the Spirit in us. We thank you that we share in Jesus. We thank you for the resources that you've given us. Help us, Lord, to hold on to them very loosely so that we can let them go and be used for your purposes in your kingdom. So, Father, we ask all these and we thank you for fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.